Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadhi Jamuna Tira Vanachadhi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadhi Jamuna Tira Vanachadhi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Padpada Mahamsa Parivijagacharaja Astatarasata Sisri Madhes Divine Grace Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kid Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Kid Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kid Samvida Bhakta Vrinda Kid Nitai Gopremanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Canto 4, Chapter 29, text 52. Narada uvacha prashna evam hi sanchino bhagavat bhavata purusharshabha atrame vaddato goyam Nishamaya sunishchitam Narada uvacha Prashna evam hi sanchino Bhagavat bhavata purusharshaba Atrame vadato goyam Nishamaya sunishchitam Narada uvacha. Narada said, prashnaha, question, evam, thus, he certainly, sanchinaha, answered, bhavataha, your, purusharshaba, O great personality, atra, here, mevadaha, as I am speaking, guyam, confidential, nishamaya, here, sunishchitam, perfectly ascertained. Translation, the great Saint Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now, hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narada Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Barhishman. It was Narada Muni's intention that through his instructions the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons who were away from home executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. they accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him. But when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruit of activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life, as Prahlad Maharaj advised. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. Bhagavatam 7.6.1. According to all the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is simply wasting his time engaging in the fruitive activities of material existence. Narada Muni, therefore, decided to relate another allegory to the king so that he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. Narada uvacha prashna evam hi sanchino bhavata purusharshava atrame vadato guyam nishamaya sunishchitam. The great Saint Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Narada Muni is in the category of a Shaktivesh avatar. He's not ordinary by any means. He acts as potently as the personality of God acts in a particular realm, in the realm of the Lord's devotional potency, his bhakti shakti. He's the bearer of the Lord, the fullness of the Lord's bhakti shakti. Could you imagine being on Sankirtan and you're empowered with the fullness of the Lord's bhakti shakti? Whew. That's Narada Muni. He goes on Sankirtan and even Narada Muni doesn't always get a yes from people. So when you don't always get a yes from people, don't be discouraged. You just continue acting as you understand is proper to act and become gradually purified and so forth. Better instrument. So Narada wanted to deliver devotional service to a person who he knew in advance, even before going to the palace of the king. He knew in advance. He's mixed. He's from a line that is pure, and he's mixed, and he's attached to the mix. And when people are attached to the material side, it's very difficult. I mean, many things are difficult, but taking up devotional service, which is pure, is difficult. They're happy with the mix. And a personality like Narada, he knows what's the difference between mix and pure. His intent, as Prabhupada is describing specifically in the purport, his intent was to bring him to the position of unmixed, or when he could let go of fruitive activities that keep one implicated in the material energy. What's the nature of fruitive activities? When we use, Prabhupada uses the term all the time, fruitive activity. What is that? Different ways of describing what it is. One is, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, it's the soul in contact with the mode of passion. As soon as the soul is in contact with the mode of passion, you have fruitive activity. So what's the mode of passion? It's an impelling force from material nature that says, apart from Krishna, I want to enjoy. And then there's unlimited varieties of that. I want to enjoy, fill in the blank. But that's the mode of passion. And to get that which I have a sense of will make me happy, that then I can enjoy, I have activities to get those objects that are to bring me happiness so then I can enjoy. And so I make so many endeavors. And that hard endeavor is another characteristic of fruitive activity. Intense endeavor to get some result. That's a characteristic of fruitive activity. And the mode of passion drives one. It's not for lazy people, mode of passion. Work hard to get the fruitive result. That's the fruitive activity, the work hard part, to get the fruitive result. And the fruitive result is so that I can enjoy. So what's driving it is, I want to enjoy, separately from Krishna. And illusion says so many things. You can get it. And when you get it, you can enjoy. Just, you know, kartaham iti manyate. The part of the makeup, the chemistry of fruitive activity is doership. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get the object. I'll fulfill my desire. When, in fact, there isn't any happiness, and in fact, everything is being carried out by material nature, and one cannot, in principle, fulfill that objective because it's being carried out by material nature. But not being covered, because when, along with passion comes ignorance. It's ignorant to think like that. And so they're companions, passion and ignorance. And I become implicated. But stubborn obstinacy, sometimes Prabhupada prefaced that dog stubborn obstinacy. I don't know exactly why he used the dog metaphor. Dog stubborn obstinacy, but greatly determined. Even if knocked down and knocked down again and keep, there's only one thing, fruitive activity. Just keep doing it. Very intense. And it doesn't matter what the arena is, what the level of one's education or sociological, economic, cultural, it's pervasive. It's the mode of passion. And when one is in that space, that position of being pushed by the mode of passion, how that person can take to pure devotional service. So one way, which was what the king was already doing, was mix passion, fruitive activity, and from the higher side of the lineage that he came, some acknowledgement of God. And then you put a little perfume and a bow and a ribbon on it and call it religion. But it's fruit of activity. Good, mode of goodness, leading urdvam gacchati sattvastha, leading at least by proper performance, gradual elevation. But that's not the advice that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, gradual elevation to the higher planetary regions where I can enjoy even in a higher status, because still then driving the machine is I want to enjoy. So to let go of that, I want to enjoy the fruitive activity position, very difficult. It's like a child that has something in their hand. Anybody been around children knows about this one. And you try, it's not good, whatever the thing is they have in their hand. You try to take the thing from their hand. What happens? Scream and cry and wail and even it's bad for them. So the technique that Prabhupada said, and I've seen mothers just innately somehow know how to do this, they pick up something else. Something that's shiny or glittery or rattles or makes a noise or something. And they, you know, hold that. So the child has to let the other something down in order to get the something. Sometimes they try to put both things in their hand, but it doesn't work. So they have to let go of the one thing to get the other thing. So that's essentially what Narada is doing with the king. The king does understand from the many verses and chapters preceding the foolishness. This is the benefit of knowledge. Jnana assists and gives strength to vairagya. It's always like that. Jnana vairagya. It's a couplet. Knowledge, detachment. And therefore, in this world, real knowledge, not just how to get sense gratification knowledge, but real knowledge, it's rare and it's revered. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati. What's the word? Siddhaye. It's the morning after Vyasa Puja. It's a little struggle here. Janmashtami. So, siddhaye means perfection. Siddha. And what's the position of siddha? The position is to know who you really are beyond the body. To know who you really are. Knowledge. Knowledge of who you really are. And how many people do you know that are endeavoring like that? According to Bhagavad Gita, rare, out of many, many millions of persons, maybe one is endeavoring, maybe. And then of those who have achieved that status, they're self-realized. Hardly one knows Krishna in truth. So Narada's interest is to give pure devotional service to the king, so he can know Krishna, because bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvatah. It's only through devotional service that one can know Krishna. He wants to give him that, but he's holding on very tightly. His inspiration or impetus for siddha hasn't come yet. He wants to be a pious enjoyer. And even he understands the futility of fruitive activity as a means of becoming a pious enjoyer. He's still attached to it. Knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge is necessary, but knowledge alone is not enough. So he's dangling the better thing before King Prajinibari in the form of an allegory. And it's not, he's just not fiction. It's as he says in the verse, it's something that's authorized by great saints as something that has with it great spiritual potency to bring the hearer to the position of accepting, letting go of fruitive activity, so that the realm of pure devotional service can be entered. This is Canto 4. We'll fast forward a little bit, where there's a description of King Chitraketu. Narada was also involved with delivering King Chitraketu. And even before Narada came to deliver King Chitraketu, Angira Muni also had interaction with King Chitraketu, and he had this position. Everything was great. He was king. His citizens were happy with him. They were prospering. He had good government. Everything was fantastic. He was on top of the mountain, except one thing. He didn't have a son. He was thinking, it's my duty. I'm a king. I have to leave behind an heir to the throne. I must have a son, the heir to the throne. But there's no son. So he married a second queen, married a third queen, and 10th queen, and 100th queen, and 1,000 queens. How many did he have? 100,000 queens. He passed even Krishna. Is that how many? 10 million. Whoa. 10 million. 10 million. Hello. It wasn't meant to be. But he couldn't accept what wasn't meant to be. Just couldn't accept it. So he had to learn the hard way. When Angira visited, he recognized, just as Narada, the king hasn't spoken yet, but Narada can understand the person because he's expert, he's Narada. So similarly, King Chitraketu couldn't understand, so he had to learn the hard way. And after he let go of that obsession, I must have a son, by Angira and Narada's arrangement, before even they gave him transcendental knowledge, an arrangement was made where he would get to the point where King Prachinibari was, where by hearing, in the case of King Prachinibari, or in the case of suffering, in the case of King Chitraketu, then by hearing transcendental knowledge means you're not this body. The reality of things is we're spirit soul, and real life is on that platform of spirit soul. But for a large part, people can say yes, yes, and they're not there. They don't hear it because they're too attached. So in different methods were applied by Narada in these circumstances, but the principles were the same. Desiring siddha, desiring real spiritual understanding. I was just in, I shared this yesterday, I think. Just a short while ago, I was in China and had an interesting, one of many interesting experiences was we visited a farm community where the people that were operating the farm had not had much association with devotees. They've only had association with Bhagavad Gita as it is. And they accepted Bhagavad Gita as it is, as their association that was guiding them. And they didn't own the farm. There's a community of about 12 people, 10 to 12 that fluctuated, different times of the seasons. But the person that was, so it was leased, and the person who held the lease was a woman in her late 30s or early 40s, something like that, and she explained that she found out she was diagnosed as having cancer. It didn't really get too far afield, but when she heard that from the medical reports, she became very discouraged. And she became, her sense of purpose of life was slipped through her fingers. So she then met another person who hadn't had a devotees association but had read Bhagavad Gita as it is in Chinese. And he started explaining to her what Bhagavad Gita says about the soul. And she was in a good space because, she, you know, the body was going. So what's left? She was ready to hear. So she heard and became again encouraged. So this project began, leased a farm. I don't know how common that is in China, but she leased a large farm. And then the community of devotees started growing around that, where they would study Bhagavad Gita and do agricultural work and chant Hare Krishna. So her thing, I heard it before we went there, and then I heard from her directly. You know, she's very short in stature, but, you know, very intense personality, although her body is cancer-ridden. Self-realization. Now, if I were to ask her, what's the goal of this project? Self-realization. If I was to ask the question, what is self-realization? I don't know what I would get as an answer. I didn't ask. But if they're, you know, read Bhagavad Gita and gradually, whatever their idea is, her idea and the other people's enthusiasm for self-realization is, it can gradually come to the position of what real self-realization is by the guidance of Bhagavad Gita. But minimally, you're not this body. And how do you do agricultural community work when you're not this body? How do you do anything when you're understanding you're not this body? If you're understanding your spirit soul, what do spirit souls do? Then you have to go to the next position. Constitutionally, we serve Krishna. So just service to Krishna. And some like it this way, and some like it that way, and some like it another way, but the essence, the basis is service to Krishna. And through that medium, realize Krishna and oneself. Very nice little expression Prabhupada said. Self-realization, this much I shared. Self-realization and God-realization, they occur simultaneously. Like the rising of the sun in the morning and seeing yourself in the mirror. They occur simultaneously. So it's the dark of night and you have a mirror. And what do you see? Darkness. And as the sun rises, you can see the sun and you can see your reflection in the mirror. Self-realization. So your goal, self-realization must be simultaneous with Krishna realization. And the Krishna realization is through serving him. And serving him means unmixed. So one can try a different method, dovetailing passion in service to Krishna. And dovetailing means, I mean, passion means fruitive activity. Fruitive activity. Being an enjoyer of the senses in devotional service to Krishna. There's dissonant. That's not what devotional service is. It's mixed devotional service, but it's not what devotional service is pure. So Rupa Goswami teaches, and the Bhagavatam is teaching, and Narada is teaching, come to that position of unmixed. You may be here, strive for the position of unmixed, but if you don't know what that goal is and embrace the goal, it's like enthusiastically heading in the wrong direction. You have to reset your compass and head in the right direction. Foolish endeavors, even in the name of spirituality, it's, if not properly guided or directed, will take you very quickly to the wrong place. Faith is necessary, but faith can be misguided. So faith needs to be properly guided. Therefore, the indication here of spiritual master, Narada as the spiritual master, he's not satisfied that that King Prajinibhari will invite his sons to come, take the throne, and then he can do his, you know, higher activity. He wants him to be situated in pure devotional service now because he knows what's going on with his sons. They're becoming pure devotees, and they're not going to come back for another 10,000 years, the austerities that they're doing. So meanwhile, the king needs to come to pure devotional service himself. So that's the impetus for Narada Muni, his objective. And same, our founder Acharya, this is Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja day, so connect this verse to Srila Prabhupada's coming into our lives. We're not kings, any stretch of the imagination. We're just ordinary fellows. But involved in the material existence in a similar way. And on behalf of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada came to give us pure devotional service. And as Prabhupada is saying in the purport here, many people, even they may understand what the mission of the spiritual master is, the message of the spiritual master, there's reluctance. Reluctance because one is remaining attached to I want to enjoy program. But Narada is very determined and very expert and very powerful. So he is going to continue to instruct tirelessly. Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna consciousness in its pure form. I've lately been listening to morning walk conversations, just that section of the recorded messages of Prabhupada. And it doesn't matter where he was, it wasn't just in Bombay, you know, wherever he was. It was nonstop. It wasn't relax. It was nonstop, relentless, like letting him have it. The material energy, rascals, fools, and here's why, and explaining, and giving examples, and giving counterexamples, and defeating the counterexamples, and tirelessly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, similarly, Prabhupada described that he would visit at the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math sometimes, the headquarters of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And one of the things that he would do each day, he had a veranda, and he would pace up and down on the veranda and present aloud counter-arguments against devotional service and defeat the counter-arguments against devotional service, like a lion in a cage pacing up and down. Because it's like death to the soul, which is immortal, to be encaged in nescience and fruitive activity and being unable to bear that suffering of the conditioned soul, the pure devotee, our founder Acharya, greatly inspired to bring those who would hear from him to the position, and then those who would hear from those who heard from him, and he would say, you should teach them like this, how to take shelter of pure devotional service. And there may be steps, and certainly there are steps. Krishna indicates in Bhagavad Gita, if you can't do this, do that. If you can't do that, do the other thing. There are steps that are allowed. But let there be very great clarity in what the goal is. And without envy of the goal or Krishna and those who are on the path to achieve that goal, move towards that goal. Embrace the goal and take clear steps to reach there. That's the that's our founder Acharya's mission. It's the message of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, he wanted to translate it in its entirety and many other devotional writings. In one of these morning walks, I think it was Brahmananda that said, Srila Prabhupada, our library parties, that's mean those that were distributing books to the universities, they would go to get standing orders. It was understood, perhaps the greatest contribution of the Hare Krishna movement is the exhaustive, authoritative presentation of Vedic wisdom, accessible in English language. Knowledge in this world is revered. Unfortunately, transcendental knowledge doesn't have the same reverence because it doesn't bring sense gratification. It relieves one of sense gratification, but it's the greatest gift, certainly from the scholarly world and from the humanitarian perspective. If one understands the soul, it's the best act of compassion to give knowledge to a misguided soul. Tirelessly, Prabhupada gave that. Abundantly, Prabhupada gave that. And similarly requested us to receive it. Not just pass it on, but don't receive it. Receive it. Assimilate it. And similarly, as he did, pass it on to others. And that's the Hare Krishna movement that he created. So when hearing about Narada Muni and his expertise in delivering others from their bondage of material existence, it's very easy and very natural just to think of Srila Prabhupada and how expertly in different ways he also gave Krishna consciousness very, very expertly, very compassionately, very tirelessly. Very mercifully to the world. Hare Krishna. So any discussion? Jai Jagannath?
Maharaj, you were beautifully pointing out how we need to minimally accept the goal and embrace it in our heart despite having various forms of material contamination. In recent times, I've been having a dilemma internally with our goals in Krishna consciousness seem quite lofty. And so sometimes the tendency is to, I don't know, kind of feel like I'm not going to make it or be...
I heard that you've been feeling that.
Oh, everyone talks a lot.
Yeah, little bird told me.
So sometimes when I hear about the goals of Krishna consciousness and they're so lofty, sometimes you get a sense of like either hopelessness or a sense that okay, no. Let me just be satisfied with mediocrity because
no, so that's not you. No way.
So I was wondering how do we really, considering the long haul of Krishna consciousness, really practically in our heart, really embrace that goal and really just kind of go for it like the sparrow.
Well, how to embrace the goal is you associate with those who have embraced the goal. And our transcendental literatures is one of those sources of those who have embraced the goal. And the another answer to your question, not just embracing the goal, but then feeling, well, it's so far away, or I'm so far from that goal. the shelter is Krishna is very kind. Ashabandha. Although I have no qualification and I can't even for crores of lifetimes considering having the requisite qualification, one thing is giving me hope, and that is Krishna's very kind. He wants more than I want. And he's very kind. Bhaktavatsala. And so I can only work with what I have. And that's, you know, something that's very minuscule. But that's what I have. Very minuscule devotion. Tiny bhakti. A little. I have to work with what I have. And Krishna is very kind. And part of the kindness of Krishna is the association of those who are his messengers or his representatives. And they bring more Krishna's kindness. And I just have to have my heart open in those relationships to those who are bearing Krishna's kindness. It's not just me and Krishna. It's me and Krishna's devotees, loving devotees. So we have to learn how to be loved and to love on the spiritual platform. And then my capacity becomes something beyond my capacity, present capacity, because that mercy that Krishna gave, because he's very kind. That's the hope. The illusion kind is I don't take that into consideration. I just think, you know, fruitive. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back to Godhead. that's passion. It's illusion. On my own. Because I'm good. I'm good at getting things done. So it's contaminated. Doesn't mean it's trash. It's a contaminated way of thinking, and the more purified way of thinking is as you're thinking. You know, not that the hopelessness, that's I'm going to do it. It's the other side of I'm going to do it. I can't do it. There's a spark, and work with that spark. And receive the kindness of the very kind Krishna. And he gives it. We just have to have our receivers on. So the main, from our side, the main thing is, as Rupa Goswami says, our eagerness to want it. To be with Krishna, to be in our pure relationship with Krishna. It's just simply serving him. And it's difficult because there's so many other things going on. But just embracing that, or striving to come to that position, or striving to strive to come to that, and so forth. But that's the message repeatedly. Pure devotional service, unmixed devotional service. And that medium is such that immediately you're with Krishna. And just like it's described when Narada in his previous life gave up that body that he had, it doesn't say like lightning and thunder occur shortly after one another. It's when lightning and illumination, they occur simultaneously. There's no separation in time. Immediately, the body that he had was given up, and his spiritual form was exhibited. That's by the cultivation, from our position, the cultivation that we're doing now. So continue to strive by right means, and you're assured of success. Because Krishna is very kind, not because you're great, But Krishna is very kind. Yes.
All right, so resolved a lot. That resolved a lot. Thank you very much. Your answer resolved a lot of.
Okay. Up front, you want to get the mic?
Okay, so it does, I was just thinking about his question. It does seem like the longer you're in, like, Krishna consciousness.
The longer you're, like, in Krishna consciousness,
then the further it seems like you have to go.
No.
But I was just thinking of that also. I had that same thought. But my question is, could you explain the difference between mixed devotional service versus, let's say, someone's working and using their money to serve Krishna? Are they using money to buy prasadam? You know, is this also considered mixed?
Depends on who you are. Depends on the consciousness behind the activity. It's not the activity. It's the consciousness behind the activity. I was thinking about this last night. The devotees that were, when we were doing the arti, the midnight arti, and there are all these people down here doing the arti. I was actually thinking like this as I saw them lined up. Here's, you know, the president, vice president, and GBC performing the arti for the deities on the altar. And then there are these people that are doing the same, offering the same arti to the same deities with the same paraphernalia. Now, the consciousness of those on the altar could be less than those of the consciousness of those on the floor, vice versa. It's not a matter of status or position. Because somebody may think, I'll get honor because I get to go up front and offer the arti, and, you know, that's the buzz. That's their perk. That's their motivation. Maybe. Some people may be like that. Other people may think, I want to give to help the temple. That's my position. So let me do that in such a way I can directly worship Kishore Kishori. I'm not qualified thinking of myself in a humble way. I'm not qualified to be a full-time engaged in devotional service like these personalities. I'm here, but let me... You know, so the consciousness behind the activity, same incense, same bell, same. But the consciousness behind the activity makes all the difference. Give a scriptural example. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sending the devotees back to their place of residence after the 4 months of the rainy season, and he was meeting them in the Gundicha temple, he told, there are two brothers and a son. Raghunandan, you engage in deity worship. And your father, you engage in earning spiritual and material wealth. Your brother, you stay here in Puri and engage with the devotees. So pure devotee, pure devotee, pure devotee. Different situation. But the commonness is their pure devotion and different inclinations. But one can do each one of those three things and not be a pure devotee. So someone that's earning money, back to your example, someone that's earning money and using it to help further the cause of Krishna consciousness, that person can be as elevated in Krishna consciousness as anyone else that's doing service in the temple, or going on Sankirtan, or whatever it is, doing deity worship or something. They can be in, you know, as identical purity of consciousness. So it's not the activity, it's the consciousness. Now, reality is, commonly, such persons are attached. That's why they're in the situation that they're in. And this is a means of purification for them. For that which I am attached, let me offer in service to Krishna. That's more like the reality. But by following that path, one can come to the position where whatever it is that I have, it's meant for Krishna service. That's why I'm doing it. And some people have, I know some people that have that sense of purpose as householders in our Hare Krishna movement. They have a sense that this is something that's needed for all the... I just heard in one of these morning walk conversations, Prabhupada was describing that. The blind man and the lame man example. So he was... It was in... it was in Delhi, and Prabhupada was speaking about the blind man, lame man. He said, anyone can come and see how impoverished is India, but there's spiritual wisdom. So, blind man, lame man. So in the West, there's great opportunity for wealth. Without the wealth, we can't do all of what we're doing. So let us, blind man, lame man, work together. So one who understands that some resource is needed in order to do what we're doing, in order to decorate the deity like this, or to have, you know, to do all the things that happen here. So if I'm a householder, that it's my propensity to earn money, it's just I'm supposing I'm, you know, have capacity for that or inclination for that, let me use that to help all this. And that is the... It's not a... That mentality, that consciousness, is not a lesser position. And if we see, if we have that appreciation that Prabhupada was... I just shared Prabhupada was speaking, then it's not us and them. You know, we're the good guys and they're the bad guys. The most important thing for us on a practical level is to be pure. Because if we're pure, then we're transparent mediums to the Supreme Pure. Thinking of an example, Prabhupada said, when if a devotee receives, they go on Sankirtan and somebody gives a donation. And the donation is used in the service of the deity. It doesn't go into their pocket, it goes to Krishna. And it's used in service to Krishna. Prabhupada said, the pujari who is doing the offering to Krishna and the person who gave the donation on Sankirtan, their spiritual benefit is the same. It's provided the person who receives the donation is pure and transparent, and the chain going to Krishna is pure. So our business is to be pure. And then those people that are not yet educated or trained in Krishna consciousness or maybe involved in fruitive activity can get enormous spiritual benefit, provided we're pure. So that's our main project, being pure. But back to your question, yes, someone can be engaged in pure devotional service from that position of giving wealth. He named the verse from the 10th canto, Balaram looking at the trees, or Krishna looking at the trees and saying, one can worship the Supreme Lord by one's life, or one's wealth, or one's intelligence, or one's words. And he gave examples of each. So one who gives one's wealth, following the indications of Scripture, giving it properly, in the right consciousness, they can get the same benefit. Is that right?
Yes, but it goes with the other part of it. It seems like it goes with the first part when I said about Jagannath, his question. It seems like the longer you're in Krishna consciousness, or at least with me, it seems like the more you see you have to go, the further you see you have to go.
That's a very different statement than the first statement. One is the more you see, and the other is the more you have to go. When one is very covered, you don't see. And then you start devotional service and you go, wow, look at this. And you go further in devotional service, and that's not only this, it's look at that, and look at that, and look at that, and look at the goal, and whoa. It's just you're more alert to reality. That's all. Doesn't mean you're further away. It means you recognize the reality of how contaminated I have become, and therefore the one who is possessed of spiritual acumen is very humble. They recognize what reality is. But it's not you're further, you have a longer distance to go as you go further. Your realization becomes more in picture with reality. But back to this other, that distance that seems like so far away can immediately shrink by surrender. One who takes full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, that ocean shrinks to the water in the hoofprint of a calf. It's mystical, but it happens like that. And the other way around, you hesitate and the hoofprint in the calf becomes an ocean. So don't hesitate. Take shelter. That's make the distance less, mystically. Although I'm, look at all this stuff. Therefore, let me take shelter. More than anyone else, I'm so contaminated. I must take very earnest, sincere shelter. I have to, with doubled enthusiasm and commitment and conviction and surrender. Then the distance shrinks. Still, I'm feeling that humility. That's good. That's a protection, one of the many. Humility is protection. Pride is destruction. Okay. Anything else? Last question. Here.
Maharaj, you were saying that Narada Muni, despite his qualification, not everyone was able to take up the path of devotional service.
Well, what I said was not everybody said yes. But, you know, he didn't stop there. He got a no. And he didn't get a no. He got a, well, let me do it that way. It was just a no. And he hadn't even said it yet. But he kept going and he got a yes. Yay, he was victorious. So?
I guess I was just wondering how to balance that. Sometimes we hear Prabhupada say that a pure devotee can deliver the entire world.
Potential is there. Absolutely. The potency is there. Absolutely. And some people can say no. I mean, Ravana said no, etc.
Thank you.
How can I say no?
Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a nice class. I was just thinking that sometimes we do a lot of...
I can't hear. Just hold like this, and then I'll be able to hear.
Okay. Maharaj, sometimes like we do over-endeavor in our jobs just
you
to...
Feel that you over-endeavor?
Yeah, just to sustain, but not because we are too much attached to it. Like
not to go to where?
To the job.
To a job?
Mm-hmm.
You want to quit your job?
But we can't like stay in United States if we quit our job because like we are on a visa, but sometimes we really over-endeavor just to sustain ourselves, but not over-endeavor because we are attached. So is it also like fruitive?
If you over-endeavor to maintain yourselves, but not because you're attached, is that okay? No. you endeavor as the circumstance requires in Krishna consciousness, but the I'm saying no to the over-endeavor part. If you find yourselves, I don't know the context, but if the context, some people are in a context where the job or work situation is such that the person above them or the person above them is a relentless taskmaster, and they beat, work harder, you're a donkey, work harder. Yes? Yeah. So that's not something that you need to continue to subject yourself to. Circumstantially, because you're here on a visa, persons may exploit your dependency on your visa and try to push you to the point of breaking. Not just you, I've seen that happen. It's not a nice position to be in, and you use whatever resources, intelligence, ability, find another situation that's not like that. When you're dependent on your visa situation, and it makes it more restrictive, but it's not a nice position to be in. If you draw the line and say to the person, here's the line, I'm not going beyond that line, they'll say, you're disposable. If you say no, see you later. I'll find somebody else that will say yes. Hit the road. Go back to India or wherever you want to go, but you're out of here because I want people that always say yes. And you're stuck because if you think I'm dependent upon that person. So this is a practical matter. Consult with the local devotees here. What should I do in this circumstance? But by one means or another, see if there's an alternative position for you besides being the laborer of a taskmaster that's very unkind and unreasonable. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.